Okay. Okay, good morning. Hopefully we'll bear with my congestion and we'll do our best to make it through. The best way, the Gemara says, if you have a headache, you should learn. I guess if you have a sore throat, you should give shiur. That's probably the flip side of that idea. So, Bezat Hashem, we'll make it through. Shikaya. We are picking up on page 552 or 553 in the English. Perek Beis, 552, page 552. And it's Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud Gimel, the second chapter, the Mishnah number 13. And Mishnah is number 13 and 14, which Bezat Hashem we're going to see today. Mishnah is number 13 and Yud Gimel. Mishnah is number 13 and 14. Right. Right. So Mishnah is number 13 and 14, which we're going to see today, follow directly from what we saw in the last two sessions, starting with Mishnah Yud, where the Mishnah had told us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who again rebuilt Yiddishkeit after the Churban Bayis Sheni, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, had five preeminent Talmidim, had five preeminent students, and those students were described in the last few Mishnayos together with their outstanding character traits. And then the Mishnah had this very interesting discussion where it tried to figure out, of these five students, who was the greatest? You know, maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was the greatest, maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was the greatest. And the way we explained this whole very unusual discussion, you know, this student had this attribute, this student had that attribute, very, very added character for what's going on in Pirkei Avos in general, we suggested that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was really trying to put forward which character traits, which attributes were the most essential in order to rebuild Yiddishkeit basically from the ashes. You know, the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, Yushalayim was destroyed, so many Jews had been killed, Jews had been sent into Galus. How can we put the pieces back together again? These five Talmidim brought the five essential qualities that were necessary for rebuilding Yiddishkeit after a period of tremendous Churban. That's what we suggested. So the next two Mishnayos, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalid, continue the story of these five Talmidim. So let's start with Mishnah Yud Gimel. Omar Lohem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai rather said to them, Su'u ure'u, Ezo hiderech tova shiyidbak baha adam. I'm going to read the English translation, the art school translation. Go out and discern, go out and look, which is the proper way to which a man should cling. Because what's the best derech, what's the best path that a person, from a ruchniistic, from a spiritual perspective, what's the best path that a person should embrace in life? Okay, it's a very open-ended question. And the answers also seem very difficult to pin down. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ayin Tova, you should have a good eye. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chover Tov, you should have a good friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochein Tov, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroe Es Hanolod, somebody who can predict the outcome of a deed. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Lazar says, Lev Tov, a good heart. Very amorphous, you know, right, very, very broad thoughts. You know, if I were to go to somebody, you know, as a Rebbe, if a Talmud were to come to me and say, you know, Rebbe, I'm looking to do the right thing, what do you need? If I were to just hold him and say, you just need a Lev Tov, he'd probably shake his head and then say, okay, and then what? You know, I need to have a good heart. That's beautiful. You know, Hallmark will sign you up. That's not really very specific hadracha. That's not really a very specific piece of advice as to what I should do. So clearly, you know, when we're dealing with Gedolei Yisrael, we have to, you know, we have to work to try to understand what they're talking about. And then the last the last statement is even more puzzling. Omar Lohem, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to them after they came back and reported these various discoveries which they had made, Roe ani es divrei Elazar ben Arach medivreichem. I see the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who said that you need a lev tov, a good heart. I prefer what he has to say to what all the rest of you said. Shebichlau dvarav divreichem. Because everything that you said is really included in what he said. If you have a lev tov, that really includes everything else. So, again, these terms seem very broad and generic, and it's not immediately clear, you know, we don't understand what a lev tov is, so it's hard as a result to then understand why all these other things are included in the concept of a lev tov.
Delineated how
lathe
really means
mind. Oh, so we actually will talk about that, the Ezra Sashem. The notion that the lathe means the mind. I think, by the way, right, I think, by the way, in this, you know, in this Mishnah itself, the question as to whether lathe means heart or means mind is a very essential one, and is also and is also one that is probably debated by the Mefarshim on this Mishnah. In other words, the point that Rabbi Arieti made at the Malav Malka, which I thought was a beautiful, beautiful point, I think is definitely embraced by some of the Mefarshim we'll see, but is also definitely not embraced by other Mefarshim that we'll see. And that will lead to different ways of understanding this Mishnah. We then have a Mishnah, which is the converse of this Mishnah, Mishnah Yudalid. Omar Lohem, he said to them, I guess this was the second day of Shir, right? That was the first day of Shir, and the homework that came with the first day of Shir. Apparently, in his yeshiva, they gave homework. It was a very, very strange yeshiva. That was the homework for the first day. Then they came back the second day, and he had more homework for them. Tzu'u, go out and see. Eizu derech ra'a, shi'israchik mimena ha'adam. Go and see the bad path, the evil path from which a man should distance himself. And almost to a T, each of the Tanaim, each of these students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, basically says the opposite of what they said the first time, with one exception. Rabbi Lezer Omer Ayin Ra'a. Rabbi Lezer says an evil eye. You shouldn't have an evil eye. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chaver Ra, an evil friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shachin Ra, an evil neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer Halova Ve'eno Mishalei. So Rabbi Shimon, who had said before that the good path is to be Roes Hanolad, to anticipate that which is going to happen, here he says the opposite is not anticipating what's going to happen, but rather borrowing and not paying back. Echad Halova Min HaAdam Kelova Min HaMakom. And borrowing from a person is like borrowing from God Himself. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Lo v'rasha v'lo yishalem. Somebody who borrows and doesn't pay back is called a rasha, is called a wicked person. V'tzadik chonein v'nosein. The tzadik graciously gives. So again, what's meant by that exactly is something we're going to have to explore. Why doesn't he simply restate what he stated the first time in the opposite? And again, as much as borrowing and not paying back is a bad thing, I think we would all agree to that, in what sense is that the quintessential evil? You know, I can think of no worse thing you can possibly do in the world than borrow and not pay back. I don't know. There are a couple of things that come to mind that may be a little bit worse than that. Why is that the quintessential evil that one can imagine in the world? We'll try to come back and analyze that. And finally, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach said, Lev Ra, an evil heart/mind, right? However we're going to define Lev. Omar Lohem, so when they came back with the second homework assignment, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says once again, Roe ani es divrei Elazar ben Arach medivreichem. I see the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach as being more true than what you said. Shebichlau dvarav divreichem. Included in his words, the idea that you have to stay away from a lev ra, from an evil heart, from an evil mind, is divreichem, are your words as well. Again, as much as we have difficulty understanding what the back and forth is when they talk about the good path, it's equally perplexing to try to understand what the back and forth is when we talk about the evil path. So let's try to take this apart, and let's just acknowledge from the get-go that there are different approaches in the Mefarshim to understand what's being said over here. So again, there's if there's ambiguity in the presentation in the Mishnayos, there is also ambiguity in the presentations of the Mefarshim. There isn't one single obvious way of understanding what the give and take is over here, but let's at least give some examples of what's possibly going on over here, and then we'll try to work from there. So first of all, let me share a question which is posed by the contemporary Sefer, the Shalmei Moshe, in analyzing the big picture over here. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells these Talmidim, Tzu ru'u ezu derech tova shiyidbak b'ha adam. Right? And again, I want to quote the Aristotle translation, go out and discern which is the proper way to which a man should cling. Isn't there a very obvious answer to that question? What is the proper way to which a person, we'll make it gender non-specific, what is the proper way to which a person should cling in life? There's one word, it's four letters in Hebrew. Tav, Vav, Resh, He. Right? Torah. Torah is the proper path to which a person should cling. What else is there to say beyond that? Right? What is the whole discussion to begin with? So the Shalmei Moshe, I believe he quotes it from by Meir Lehman Sefer, Meir Nesiv, which I think goes back about 100 years, where he suggests the following answer. It does not say in the Mishnah, go out and find the good path to which a person should cling. That is the article translation, but truth is, if you want to be exact, the proper path with the direct article would be ba derech hatova shiyidbak ba ha'adam. You would have to have some form of the hey ayidia, the hey that would precede either the word derech or the word tova, right? Ba derech hatova. Rather, it says ezu derech tova, which really a proper translation, says the Shalmei Moshe, is not the proper path, but a proper path. What is a proper path which a person should follow? Meaning what? Meaning, the sense in which the term derech is used over here, the sense in which the word path is used over here, is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal, clearly, is to keep the Torah. That's the point. But what's the best method that you can use, or what's a method that you can use in order to make it as easy as possible for you to follow the Torah? I know what the goal is. The goal is to follow Torah. There's no question about that. You know, it's not a question of, you know, this religion, that religion, this Torah, that Torah. I know what Torah is. But what should be the method that I use, or what could be a method which one can use in order to come to Torah? And frankly, there may not be one right method. The method to which a person comes to Torah may be different for different people. Because again, we're not talking about, in this context, obligations, chiyuvim. We're not talking about specific mitzvos that the person has to follow. We're talking about what does it for you. Again, imagine in a different context. A person wants to improve their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, obviously, the most obvious way in which to improve your connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to do mitzvahs. Fine, no one's debating that. But within the span of different mitzvahs you can do, some people will choose a certain emphasis. Some people will try to focus on giving more tzedakah. Some people will try to focus on tefillah. Some people will try to focus on chesed. Within those things that everybody does, you can have a certain focus and a method that works individually for you. And that was really the question of Yochanan ben Zakkai posed to these Talmidim. Go out and share with me methods that could work for a person, not just the method. Go out and find methods that are effective to enable a person to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to observe the mitzvahs of the Torah in the best possible way. To that end, the five Talmidim come back with five different methods. And although Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has a preference for one of the methods, it's clear that he doesn't discount all of the methods, because then we wouldn't have them listed in the Mishnah. If the idea was they all handed in their homework, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai graded every test, and you know the results were 0, 0, 0, 0, 100, right? Only Rabbi Elazar ben Arach actually passed the test, right? So first of all, you figure the second day they would have given different answers, right? But the point was, they were all right. It's just Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, as a matter of preference, I think what Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said, you know, is more inclusive than what the rest of you said. But it's not to say that what everybody else said is wrong. Everybody has to find a method that's going to work for them. Along these lines of finding a method that works for the person, the Abarbanel in Nachlas Avos has a beautiful explanation here, where he says that each of these great Talmidei Chachamim found a method of coming closer to Hashem that spoke to their unique character traits as defined in the previous Mishnah. And here the Abarbanel wants to link all of these Mishnayos together. So we had seen in the previous Mishnayos how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gave a tagline to each of these great Tanoim. Oh, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is a bar sud she'eino ma'abei tippa. You know, he's a cemented cistern. You put Torah knowledge into him, he never forgets the Torah knowledge. It just gets absorbed, and you know, he knows it all. And each of these great Talmidei Chachamim was associated with a particular character trait. Says the Abarbanel, each of those character traits then led each of the great Tanoim to propose a method which was attuned to their unique character traits. It worked for that person. Okay, that sounds beautiful. Okay, let's plug it in though. Let's see how it actually works when you connect, you know, Mishnah Yud Aleph with Mishnah Yud Gimel, which is essentially what we're doing over here. So fine, so let's start with Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is asked, what's the best method, or what's a method that you can use to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he says, Ayin Tova, a good eye. What's a good eye? Right. So the truth is, the term Ayin Tova is very often translated in terms of generosity and patience with people. Right? In other words, I look at people, I see the good in them, I'm willing to overlook the not so good parts of that person. Or, you know, again, the idea of an ayin tova, a good eye, in many, many contexts, is generosity. Tov ayin hu yuvarach, right? The pasuk says in Mishlei, the person who has a good eye will be blessed. The person who's generous, who's machnis orchim, you know, brings in guests and provides for people, is about tzedakah. That's the way the Rambam understands this idea of ayin tova. That understanding of ayin tova, of generosity, of, you know, generosity in spirit, generosity in personality, is clearly a beautiful thing. It's not immediately obvious why that would relate to Rabbi Eliezer's character trait of being the walking encyclopedia who never forgot anything that he learned, right? Okay, I mean, it's great to be a walking encyclopedia. You know, the guy, you can ask him, so like, what did Rebbe say 15 years ago on Tuesday, January 6th? So, see, you don't remember? You weren't there? What, you were sleeping that day? I know, it was 15 years ago. Okay, there's some people who are like that. And it's wonderful to have a generosity of spirit. But we know plenty of people who are, you know, have one and not the other. They don't necessarily go together. So how are they connected? So the Abarbanel suggests a different translation for Ayin Tova. He says Ayin Tova, a good eye, means a constant attention to detail. A constant, you know, his eye is on the details constantly. So that's the Rambam. So the Abarbanel says it's not really a question of seeing the good in people. Again, obviously it's good to see the good in people. Ayin Tova, a good eye, means an attention to little details. And the truth is, we use this term in this way in English to some extent, right? In other words, somebody's, you're going, you can't find your glasses, right? You can't find your glasses. Usually when you can't find your glasses, they're up on your forehead, right? But you're going, the problem about losing your glasses is that you need your glasses in order to be able to find your glasses. You can't find your glasses. So you need someone with a good eye who can, you know, somehow go into that messy room and discover that the glasses are in some place that you never thought that they'd end up, right? Or, you know, somebody's trying to figure out how to hang a picture, and you want to make sure that it's exactly level. So someone with a good eye, an eye for detail, can figure out that the picture is centered, and it's not, you know, lopsided, one side, you know, this way, one side that way. Says Rabbi Eliezer, in my estimation, the best way to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to pay attention to the little details. They say over from Einstein, Lahavdil, God is in the details, right? So Rebbe Lezer, you know, Einstein was mechaven to Rebbe Lezer, right? Right. In other words, you know, the truth is, look, we don't have a religion that says, oh, just be a kind of nice, sweet, wonderful person, and that's great. No. Is this hashgacha good? Is this hashgacha not good? Can I do this on Shabbos? Can I not do this on Shabbos? Is this a problem of ribbis? Is it not a problem of ribbis? We are very detail-oriented religion, and that's because we believe on a fundamental level that if you just have this kind of vague, fuzzy feeling that you want to do the right thing, you won't do the right thing. The way to do the right thing is to focus on the details. So that's Rabbi Eliezer says, Ayin Tova. You need a good eye for detail. Says the Abarbanel, that's exactly his character trait. He's a bor sud she'eino ma'abe tipa. He's a cemented cistern that you tell him a fact, you tell him a detail, and he'll tell you the shiur 15 years later verbatim. And yeah, at, you know, 16 minutes into the shiur, the Rebbe sneezed. I remember like it was yesterday, you know, and that's exactly when he said over the Reb Chaim, right? So, you know, that kind of personality, the personality who's can remember facts and figures and details, is very, very detail oriented, says Rebbe Lezer, that is a derech to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because otherwise your Yiddishkeit is just this kind of floaty, sweet, you know, mushy, amorphous connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but doesn't really have teeth to it in a substantial way. Rabbi Yoshua says that the quintessence of Yiddishkeit is about finding about a chaver tov. Now, there's a machlokas, there's a debate among the mefarshim what Rabbi Yeshua means by that exactly, even in the most broadest of senses, meaning as follows. Does Rabbi Yeshua mean that in order to actualize, you know, Yiddishkeit in the best possible way, you should find a chaver tov? Or does he mean that you should be a chaver tov? And they're both legitimate interpretations of what he's saying. And again, as we know, it's a lot easier to find a chaver tov if you are a chaver tov, right? I mean, there is a symbiotic relationship between the two things. But we should know there is a debate among the mefarshim what exactly he means in this statement. Right? Is it that you need a chaver tov to help you grow in your Yiddishkeit? Meaning, no man is an island. It's good to have someone who can support me, who can help me, who can tell me when I'm being wrong, who can tell me when I'm being foolish, who can direct me in the best possible way. You know, having a chaver tov is invaluable to being a good Jew. And the flip side of that is also being a chaver tov is invaluable to being a good Jew. The Abarbanel takes the perspective that what Rabbi Yeshua means over here is that one should try to be a chaver tov. And in that regard, he says Rabbi Yeshua is really following through on the character trait by which he was described. Rabbi Yeshua was described as Ashrei Yoladeto. Fortunate is the woman who bore somebody like Rabbi Yoshua. And we explained what that means was Rabbi Yoshua was a people person. You know, when you meet somebody who just has incredible midos, incredible character traits, and makes a beautiful impression on everyone they meet. So people are moved to say, well, you know, this guy's mother must have been incredible. You know, this guy was really well raised. He was brought up, you know, in a beautiful, wonderful, amazing kind of family. You know, people don't have that same reaction just because they see somebody is really smart, you know, or they, because they see somebody is really successful. When people see somebody who's really good, you know, who's menschlich, so that really prompts people to say, Ashrei Yoladeto, fortunate is the woman who brought this person into the world. So Rabbi Yoshua's outstanding character trait was menschlichkeit. He was just filled with good midos. So says the Abarbanel, it's not surprising that Rabbi Yoshua's description of how to cling to Hashem in the best possible way is be a good friend. Be a good friend. You know, you should be the kind of person who just is friends with everybody, who is just giving to everybody, is loving to everybody, and you know, that will propel you to be the best Jew that you can possibly be. Try to be that chaver tov. Reb Yossi says shochin tov, a good neighbor. And the same debate among the Mefarshim that you have with regard to Rabbi Yoshua, does he mean find a good friend or be a good friend? You have a similar debate with regard to Rabbi Yossi. Find a good neighbor or be a good neighbor? Now, good neighbors, good friends seem to be very, very similar concepts to one another. Right. Right. So sometimes the best friends are the ones who live far away. You know. So, but what exactly is the difference between a good friend and a good neighbor, and why, you know, why would one Rabbi Yeshua focus on one, whereas Rabbi Yossi would focus on the other? So, assume. Yeah.
Is someone with whom you have a closer connection than the Shechet.
So
a shachet tov, you can be a shachet tov, but
right. So then the question is, right, if a chaver tov is better than a shachet tov, so why on earth would Rabbi Yossi talk about being a shachet tov? In other words, you know, why should I find a shachet tov if I can find a chaver tov?
I think right. Your neighbor is your best friend because he is there when you really need him.
Right.
Right.
So let's start with the Rambam. Right, 100%. Right. You can help your neighbors move out if you really, you know, but that's a separate issue. Right, but then the
right.
So let yeah.
But with the shachet, you know, if she lives next to you, he lives next to you, it'd be a real pain in the neck. So, you know, if you're going to be a good, you know, you have to control yourself to be able to give to a pain in the neck that could look nice.
Right, right. It works on your midos a lot more to deal with the shachet tov, to be a shachet tov. Right, so let's
more spiritual pressure to be on par with your neighbors. It's a good thing to have. It's like a good to be,
right. So let's try to analyze this debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yossi, because again, they seem to be saying things that are very similar, but clearly there's a difference in emphasis. Let's first analyze it from the point of view that, you know, they're talking about what you should find, and then we'll talk about, you know, we'll analyze it if they're talking about from the point of view of what you should be. Let's say first of all that, you know, what they're stating is Rabbi Yeshua says you should try to find the chaver tov to be the best you can be, and Rabbi Yossi says you should try to find the shachin tov, a good neighbor, to be the best you can be. So what are they arguing about? Why a friend versus neighbor? So essentially here one can argue that what they're talking about is the difference between quality versus quantity. Meaning, with a good friend, you can have a very, very deep, a close, deep relationship. But that good friend is not always going to be available when you need them. Right? In other words, you can have that deep, abiding relationship with somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael. And that's amazing, and that's wonderful, and you have a tzara, and you call them up. But if something happens in the middle of the night, and you need immediate assistance, you know, you can call your friend in Yerushalayim, and they'll be very sympathetic, but they're not running over. You know, or even if they are running over, it's going to take a while before they can really come and help you out. So that's, Rabbi Yeshua says, the most important thing that you can have to help you get to where you want to be is someone with whom you have a quality relationship. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the most important thing you can have to get to who you want to be is not to have a quality relationship, it's to have a quantity relationship. You know, there's a lot of discussion in terms of one should not try to be a parrot. In terms of parenting, there's a lot of discussion. You know, there was a term that was very, very common, you know, going back a couple of decades, quality time. Parents should have quality time with their children. So, you know, more recently, many of the parenting experts have pointed out that that's a very misleading term. Quality in time implies that I can somehow carve out 43 and a half minutes to be with my child, but I'll make it quality time, and that's somehow going to be effective. No, that's not really going to be effective. What you need is not so much quality time, it's quantity time. The more time you spend with the child, you know, and not all of it is amazing or, you know, unbelievable or out of this world, but the child knows that you're around, that you're available. If you just take the child to some special event for 43 and a half minutes out of the day, so that's nice, but it doesn't really do the trick. You know, it's not about quality. It's not only about quality. It's primarily about quantity, just the fact that you're there on a regular basis. So that could be Reb Yossi's argument. It's very nice to have a chaver tov with whom you have a quality relationship, but it's far more important to have a shachin tov, you know, and you don't. You may not talk about deep, abiding issues, but you know what? That person is there when you need them. There's quantity time. So quantity time, in the end of the day, is more important than quality time. That's Rabbi Yossi's position, that the shachin tov, you know, finding a good neighbor, is more important. Let's flip it around. So that's talking from the perspective that what they're talking about is what you're looking to find. Are you looking to find a good friend? Are you looking to, you know, to find a good neighbor? Let's say that what's being discussed over here is what you should try to be. Should I try to be a good friend? Should I try to be a good neighbor? So here, the Abarbanel, working with the assumption that what we're talking about is what you should try to be, says as follows. Rabbi Yeshua said you should try to be a chaver tov, a good friend, because of this idea of Ashrei Oladato. He was a Baal Midos. He was a person who just exuded love and friendship to everybody. So he said you should try to be a good friend. You should try to be that lovey-dovey person who just, you know, is everybody's friend and is, you know, just filled with love for everybody. And that's how you're going to come closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yossi says the Abarbanel was described as a chassid, as a pious person. A chassid is somebody who goes above and beyond the letter of the law. Lifnei Meshuras Hadin. It's very easy to go above and beyond when you're dealing with people you're close with. It's somewhat easier to go above and beyond when you're dealing with people you're close with. It's a lot trickier to be ready to go above and beyond when you're dealing with people that you're merely involved with, who are acquaintances and are not necessarily people you're particularly close with. Rabbi Yossi says the best way to serve Hashem is to be a shachin tov, a good neighbor. A good neighbor doesn't mean that you're friends with everybody, but it means that even the people you have a casual relationship with, you're willing to go the extra mile on their behalf. Neighbors don't necessarily have close relationships. They live in close proximity, but they may not be the best of friends. But if you're a neighbor, that means that you go all out. You should try to go all out for the other person simply because, you know, you happen to be in the same vicinity where you're living together. So Sasti Abarbanel says the idea of being a shachin tov, of being a good neighbor is consistent with Rabbi Yossi's idea that he should be a chassid, somebody who goes lifnei mishuras hadin. Let's take it to the next one. So Reb Shimon says the ultimate way to serve Hashem, a good path to serve Hashem, is to be roes hanolad, to consider what's going to be the outcome of an action which you engage in. So says the Abarbanel, that's consistent with Reb Shimon ben Nathanael's description as being a yerechet, somebody who fears sin. In other words, consider long-term consequences. Right? Somebody who doesn't have that sense of yiras shamayim, of, you know, fear of the sin itself, as we described in earlier shiurim. So such a person will say, look, you know, I know it's not the right thing to do, and I know there'll be consequences. We'll get there when we get there. Yeah, I'll take my chances. We'll deal with that when we get there. Right? Somebody who's imbued with a powerful sense that this is wrong and will have eternal consequences, even if in the short run it makes me feel happier, better, you know, whatever it happens to be, that person who has a real sense of being a yirei chet, somebody who fears sin, is roes hanolad, you know, he will see that which will, you know, he can see down the line the consequences of that person's actions. Finally, Reb Elazar says that you should look to have a lev tov. And here the Abarbanel clearly understands that lev in this context means not a good heart, as our school translates and as, you know, most of the standard English translations translate the statement of Reb Elazar ben Arach, but rather you should have a good mind. Right? The best, a good mind, a good head. Right? The best way to serve Hashem is to try to cultivate a good mind. Now, one may respond to that by saying that's not really a fair expectation. If a guy just isn't that smart, so you can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I mean, you get... Yeah, so that's the way the Abarbanel understands. The Abarbanel was mechaven to Rabbi Rieti from the Melitta Visser and Malava Malka, that lev means mind, it doesn't mean heart. I'll just read you the words of the Abarbanel. He says... He says it very, very succinctly, but he says, "Shleimus ha'haskala, the completeness of understanding, ve'hachidud, and sharpness, is mekoro ha'lev. Its source is the lev." It's very clear in that line. The lev, as defined by the Abarbanel, means not the heart. Because, you know, your heart doesn't contribute to your understanding or your sense of sharpness. It's clear that he's using the lev in the sense of the mind. Right? Yeah.
Okay. With all of them, there were things that you work on your being clever, so shopping, so whatever. When you see Boris Good, you think this is like a gift from Hashem, and you're
right.
Working, but he had to make himself pay attention to details and teach himself.
So I want to focus on that point. So in other words, both with Reb Elazar ben Arach, if lev means the mind as opposed to the heart, so he doesn't say like that. He understands lev means the mind.
Feelings are interpreted through the mind.
Right. That was Rabbi Radius' point. Right. There's no really no such thing as a feeling on a certain level. It's all how you interpret something. So let's grant that for a moment. Lev means the mind, right? A good mind is the way to serve Hashem. So one can ask the question, and so let's say I don't have the best mind, you know. I mean, I got back by SAT scores, and, you know, I didn't realize that you could get back SAT scores that only had two digits, you know. So what do you want from me? I mean, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a certain level of intelligence. So I think what the Abarbanel would say within Reb Elazar ben Arach is that everyone can push themselves intellectually beyond where they are currently. You're right. Some people have a much higher upper limit than other people. But most of us, I think somebody did a study on this once, most of us are using a very finite percentage of the brain power that we actually are capable of using. Right? If we pushed ourselves, we'd be able to expand what we're able to do with our minds. And I can tell you from many, many people's personal experience, there are many people who I know who went through the yeshiva system who were not, you know, renowned as being particularly brilliant, but if they worked hard, they were able to accomplish tremendous, tremendous things, right? Right. I mean, they, again, to say over from Einstein again, right? Edison, I think, not Einstein. They say over from Edison that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration, right? So in other words, the working hard can take the natural talents that you either have or maybe don't have as much and push them, you know, to an outer limit. Right, right. It can be trained, you know, and the person can train his mind to work better. Yeah.
But maybe it could also mean like, you know, with your mind, you can actually learn how to be a better person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like you don't have, it's not like whether you're smart or not, but you can just learn it.
Right. 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 No. No. 100%. So let's go back. Let's try to. I just want to try to wrap this up for a moment. So how does this work with Rebbe Lazar's character trait? Rebbe Lazar ben Arach was described as a Mayan Hamiskaber. He was an ever renewed flowing spring of intelligence. He was incredibly creative. He was always thinking of new things. He was exercising the mind muscle to the ultimate extent. So says Rebbe Lazar ben Arach, that character trait which I had, the Mayan HaMisgaber trait, the Lev Tov, the active mind, I found to be the best way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In what sense? Meaning, you know, you churned out another Sefer every month or so? Right, right. Yes, but even in the, in just dealing in life, when a person is trying to think creatively, and what they want to try to think creatively about is how to serve Hashem, that will lead you in the right direction. Comes his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and says, of all of the answers that were given, I see the words of Rebbe Lazar ben Arach the best. In other words, again, not that he's right and everybody else is wrong, but that speaks to me the best. Because when a person approaches life with that creative mind, and you say, you know, what can I do that's new and novel and a different way of looking at this, and maybe a better way of looking at this? If you're always looking to do better and improve, and, you know, the mind is the major muscle in doing all of that, in the end of the day, that will bring everything together. Why? Because you're thinking, how can I make my midos better? How can I make my interactions with the casual person better? How can I improve my attention to detail? You know, how can I improve my yiras shamayim? In other words, the person who's motivated to improve, the person who's always thinking creatively, what can I do that's better and different than what I did before, right, will naturally improve all of these areas. It's the drive for creative innovation in a good way that will be the engine that drives everything else that the person is doing. So that's, again, the Abarbanel's very beautiful pshat, putting, you know, this Mishnah together with the previous Mishnah. All of these Talmidei Chachamim were using their traits in the best possible way to serve Hashem. And ultimately, one of the things that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai felt is all-inclusive is that drive for creativity and innovation that, you know, will motivate everything that the person is doing to try to move it to the next level. Lots to talk about, Be'ezus Hashem. Next week the plan is to do Purim. So we will do a pre-Purim shiur, same time. Right, you know. Maybe what I'll do is I'll just bring a sitter and put a Purim wrapper over it, you know, and a half a chul. So the week after that, Be'ezus Hashem, we will resume with the study of Pirkei Avos. Wish everybody a wonderful day.